7th. Can we have roll call, please?
Member Carroll?
Here.
Member Clinton? Member Shaler?
Present.
Member Sweeney?
Here.
Member Whalen?
Here.
Vice Chair Smith? Chair Branch?
Here.
Thank you.
And now we'll rise and do the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, to the city's business. We will start with the Planning Director report. Oh, no, sorry. The minutes. Somebody make a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Second.
Any discussion?
I'll abstain, since I wasn't here.
Yeah, I'll abstain too.
Okay. Okay. Well done, Linda. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye? With one abstention, two abstentions.
Shift over just a little.
Okay, and now the Planning Director report.
Good afternoon, Chair and members. Two items to report. One is that you have all received an email, I hope, that informs you that to use the city's website to access email. If you have, so we've set, the city clerk's office set up an email account for you through the city's website. So you have to log in. I think you got information on that. If you have any questions or if it's not working, please contact our city clerk's office.
May I ask a question real quick? Is that mandatory?
Yes. But you're still getting, until we get everything worked out, I think you're still getting emails through your personal.
Okay.
But if you can start that practice, that would be great.
Okay.
And the other item is on Monday, July 17th, there is another training, Workplace Harassment Prevention Training. And that's also required, and it's Monday, July 17th, from 5:30 to 8:00 here at the council chamber for all local officials. So if you have any issues with attending that, please contact me and then I'll try to get some more information for you.
Is that a different training than the previous one?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yep.
I will be gone that day, so I've already emailed you, I think, about that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, review of projected agenda?
Okay, today's agenda, we're just asking that you switch the sign items to first before the Fire Station 10, and that should go pretty quickly so we can get that done. So items F1, F2, and F3, if you can move that up before E1.
Noted, okay. Public comment is our next item. Public shall have an opportunity to comment on agenda items as each item is considered by the Design Review Board. Anybody here to speak? Seeing none, we'll go to the sign review.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Sign Subcommittee met today, and item F1, 5342 Hollister Avenue, 7-Eleven signage. Our recommendation is to approve with the condition that the building sign be reduced to 30-inch letter height and that they paint the pylon sign a brown or bronze paint color to match the existing building.
Mr. Chair, can we just have the clerk read the item for the record?
Oh, sure.
Item F1 is the new 7-Eleven signage located at 5342 Hollister Avenue, APN 071-101-025, case number 17058, DRB.
Okay. And the previous comments by Member Carroll apply to that item.
Are we voting on this item one at a time?
We have a motion.
Oh, yeah. So you need a motion and... Well, I guess you did the motion, so somebody needs to second it.
I'll second that.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so that passes. Item F2, Linda?
Item F2 is CMC Rescue Wall Sign located at 6740 Cortona Drive, APN 071-150-024, case number 17059, DRB.
Mr. Chair, Science Subcommittee recommends final approval as submitted for this project.
Okay. Can I get a second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Item F3?
Item F3 is 6780 Cortona Drive, overall sign plan, located at 6780 Cortona Drive, APM 073-150-027, case number 17060, DRB.
The sign subcommittee also recommended final approval as submitted.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay, that concludes the sign review, and so let's now move to item E1.
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure the whole team is here yet. You're moving really fast today. would you be ready for this item? Do we need to wait for Laura? Okay, my suggestion is perhaps we can move to G1.
Okay.
Until the whole team gets here?
We don't mean to be swift like the gazelle. It just happens. Item G1.
Item G1 is the revised Goleta Neighborhood Clinic expansion, Phase 2 facade improvements, located at 5680 Calareal. It's case number 17068 DRB.
Has everybody visited the site?
Site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Same.
Same.
Same. Site visit, no ex parte.
Christina, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, board. This is a request for revised design review. The project involves a reduced scope of work for facade improvements from a prior proposal last fall due to mostly financial reasons that the applicant will touch upon. The new scope of work includes relocation of one ADA parking space, new concrete walkways, ramps, and handrails on the west and south building elevations, new garden walls for a level yard at west and south building elevations, landscaping and irrigation improvements, elimination of previously approved southeast entry enclosure addition, and new detectable warning and safety railings at east driveway in the corner of the building. In addition, the revised proposal will retain the approved soffit lighting but will not include the previously approved new lighting poles and bollards. The addition on the southwest elevation will resemble the existing storefront, and the remaining storefront on the south elevation will remain as is. And today we have architect Amy Taylor with us to discuss the project more.
Thank you.
If you'll press the button in the center, there you go.
That one?
That's it.
Thank you. Melissa McDermott, who is the facilities manager for Santa Barbara Neighborhood Clinics, will be joining us. But since you're moving so quickly, she didn't know who was to start early. So essentially, the tenants are taking over the entire building. They came in last year with a fairly elaborate proposal, which far exceeds the budget. So I have been asked to come in to resolve a few code violations within the interior remodel and to reduce the scope of work at the exterior, hoping that it's still satisfactory for your approval. Let's see. So what we have, where are we? This site plan might be the best first place to start. So currently there are move it into my face. Oh, the pointer. So currently there are two ADA spots here, and the code requires that.
There we go. Now we have transmission.
Okay, got it.
We have two ADA spots here. The van space will remain where it is with the access aisle. The car space will be moved to this side because the code requires distribution for proximity to entrances to building. This is the main entrance to the medical clinic, but this, we have two doors on this side which are for a behavioral counseling and also a staff area along with a public conference room. So parking. And what else? We're going to be removing existing walkways to lower the height here for ADA, do the appropriate slopes here, blah, 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 around here. And at the front of the building, we are removing all of the existing concrete paving, which may show, if you're familiar with it, the whole front yard basically is paved. So that comes out. The previous proposal had decomposed granite coming all the way up to the building. And there are a couple problems with that in terms of grade to wood separation for termite damage. This building does not have rain gutters, so what I'm proposing instead is to have a walkway, a concrete walkway, around the perimeter of the building to catch the rainfall. The rest of the front yard will be decomposed granite and some additional landscaping, which I'll show you. The slopes from the sidewalk to the front door are just a little bit above the 5% cutoff. And then also to resolve getting here, getting there, I'm proposing a fairly wide welcoming ramp with guardrails. And one side will be slightly canted towards the Kellogg, Calle Real intersection. For people coming from the nearby bus stop. And then similarly on the west side, not quite as grand, but a similar ramp with a slight cant to it on one side. We have existing plantings will remain, and we have a little bit of fill-in. I think that's about it there. So I have quite a few detail plans with topos on the paving slopes and all that. And one issue we have on this building that's a little bit awkward, and I don't think I have a photo. I don't think it's included in my photos. So there's the existing walkway from parking along the side of the building, and right at this corner, it is extremely tight. And the tenants are very concerned about traffic entering the driveway too quickly, and they see a lot of children in this facility. So I think the previous proposal had a curb
And I'm not comfortable with the curb in terms of it becoming a tripping hazard. So what I would like to do instead is right at the tight spot to do a decorative railing, which might not be climbable by curious kids. So I'm using a fairly tight mesh so they can't get a toe in, I hope. And then a little bit of decorative on the top so they're not inclined to try to jump and sit on it. I hope that'll work. And then at the ramps, what I'd really like to do is just very, very minimal, simple square tube grips and posts for that railing. And I've set it off of the public right-of-way just so we have enough for our 12-inch returns and all of that. But I felt that those railings, the kids might actually play on, and I'm okay with that location. It's a safer area. Let's see, the floor plans. As I said, we had a few code problems on the interior. The other main issue on the exterior of the building, let's see. We've eliminated this, well, this was eliminated before I was even involved. Eliminated an addition here, which I'm actually very grateful for. I felt that the entrance was getting a little bit too squished. It was not very welcoming anymore. The addition on the west remains, but I'd like that storefront to simply match, just matchy-matchy the whole thing, instead of trying to create a new element on this, you know, it's a fairly mundane little building, but let's just keep it what it is. That's how I feel about it. So, let's see, so really the infill glazing is just match the same pattern. And Christina had mentioned that the glazing here remains the same. There had been a proposed exterior door added to the staff break room, and there were ADA clearance problems inside of that room, so we've just removed that new door. So I do have some of the details for the exterior. The contractor was a little bit stuck because waterproofing hadn't quite been provided. So I think I've resolved some of that for them. And where are we? Oh, this looks like this is the landscape plan, which is probably more important. So what I'd really like to do here is just do a little bit of shrub planting right around the sides of that ramp. Leave that DG fairly empty and vacant for kids to run around a bit. Also future possible more garden that we're just not going to get into right now because of budget. And what I'd like to do is just do a very simple row of Arbutus marina trees, which would be so sweet. And then on the west side, I'd like to do a Quercus Tomentea, which is the island oak. It's a little bit faster growing. There are not a lot of those available, but we have a smallish one available that we're going to use. And the purpose for that really is to have a nice sun cover for this new addition. That addition is pushed right to the eave line, and there's absolutely no overhang. So they're going to bake in that room. So I'd just like to get a little of that. There are existing London plane trees. We'll just leave those alone, leave most of it alone. Just a little bit of shrub. And Christina also mentioned little tiny garden walls just along the edges so that we can flatten out that decomposed granite and reduce runoff problems with it. And that's the gist of it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Does the board have any questions? Bill?
Thank you, Chair. I had a question for staff. Do we have access to the minutes from the last time that came before us and what the comments were from the board?
Not with me. I do have the approved land use permit and the existing plans, if you'd like to see.
I just thought that that might have been helpful to try and reorient to what direction the board was going in at that point in time. Maybe I'll ask the applicant another question, a different question then. Upgrades, is there any consideration of upgrades to the perimeter landscaping back in the parking areas, or is that, they look a little neglected back there, and there's even a tree there that's dead, and just wondering if there was any plan to do anything with that part
this
of the
time,
project?
At this time, we're planning to put in an irrigation line and start doing some infill, keeping the planters in the lot watered and going. Along the fence, we might just mulch for now, and otherwise we'll infill with more of the lantana that's back there.
Okay. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that there will be some additional consideration to those areas, because as the frontage is looking nice as well, it'd be nice to have a comprehensive, complete project there. The windows on the north, were there windows on the north side at one point that were being taken out?
There are windows. Some of them remain. Some of them are taken out. Thank you for pointing that out. Where'd that go? Here. So two of the new windows remain, and two of the windows had been eliminated due to budget.
Okay, I guess this will be the last thing. I guess I'll be listening closely to the comments of our landscape professionals, particularly because for me, with this project, it has a lot of street frontage and being on the corner there. And since there's not any visual simulations as to what the new frontage is going to look like, it's just a look down and scrolls of large trees being planted in the front. It's hard to really tell when this is mature, for me, what this will look like and what Lickett's trying to achieve and whether this is what's best for this part of Goleta. So I'll be interested to hear what people say regarding that. It is helpful as these projects come forward to have those kinds of visual simulations, at least for somewhat of a layperson and for the public watching, so that they can get an idea when they drive by this in the future what to expect.
Aaron, any questions?
Questions. I noticed a lighting legend, but I don't see the light symbols on the plan.
Forgive me, that's residual. That should be crossed out.
So there's no new lighting?
There's no new landscape lighting.
Just on the building?
On the building soffits.
Okay. That was my only question.
Questions? Karis, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Sorry. So you said you were using the sidewalk that goes all the way around. I really like that idea of at least having the access through. I think that was something we discussed the first time it came through. But then where do you intend to then put the water that you've collected? Are you sloping them out towards the landscaping on the exterior of the building?
Yes, it's going to slope into the DG and into the landscaping.
Okay, perfect. Second question, have you considered something other than strawberry trees just for the kids' eating factor, maintenance factor? No. Thought about the little berries that look so pretty. I know they're edible, but
I didn't realize it was a problem for the kids to eat.
No, they're edible, right?
I don't think they're poisonous.
They're not poisonous, but there's a lot of them that fall onto the ground and that kind of thing. That would be my only thing. And then the garden walls, I'm assuming this says 16 inches high?
Yes.
On that one, and then you have some on the other wall here, and I really can't see that number. Does it say 13 inches high?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think 13, 16, they're very small.
Yeah, and they're just made of stucco looking.
Actually, I wanted to do the new garden walls in just plain concrete.
Just plain concrete?
Mm-hmm. They're just so tiny, and that the shrubbery would cover them for the most part.
When you say concrete, you mean CMU, concrete masonry units?
No, poured concrete.
Poured cast in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, poured concrete, not CMU. Okay.
The bus stop. Where is the bus stop?
The bus stop is across the street, across Kellogg on Calle Real.
And is there any way to, where's the nearest cross? It's only at the corner.
The corner.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so the bus stop's over here, so people are coming this way. Okay. I think that was all my questions.
Yes, a couple of questions back to the concrete wall. Some are 13 inches high and narrower than those that are 16 inches high. Well, no, I'm sorry. Some are 16 inches high. The ones that zigzag or step on the corner, are those also concrete walls that are seat wall benches?
Those are existing plaster over something walls.
Of those some are, similar height?
No, those are taller. Those are taller than the little walls we're creating.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's an existing wall at the southeast corner that jogs near the entry. Okay, those are my questions.
Okay, how about any comments?
Sure. I understand your concern about the entry on the southeast corner. I'm not sure that fence is the right solution. It looks like cars are going to bash into that pretty quickly and trash it up. I'm wondering, would a concrete seat wall be a better answer, or is that just an invitation for children to sit on? It's just a comment there. The tree locations, specifically the arbutus, seem to be in conflict with tentative and existing signage opportunities. There's the large pole sign that the trees and the arbutus can get up to 15 to 25 feet, as in my experience. And then there's a signage proposed location on the south elevation that the trees would completely obscure. So I would suggest that you keep the signage in mind where the tree locations are concerned. And then I agree with you that the new conference room on the southwest corner will become a hot box. I suggest that perhaps the lower portion be insulated spandrel glass, the character which would match the transparent upper part that might cut down on your heat transmission. Otherwise, I find the changes perfectly fine. I did have one question for staff. I'm sorry, I answered my own question.
Karis, any comments?
I also didn't like the Pitts Forum, but I might not have a lot of play on that one. I realize it's a very tough plant. So, where's fast growing with water? Okay. Yeah, those are all the things I was worried about, the kids coming in, and that corner is so, yeah. Have you ever thought about putting the handicap over here in the deadly corner? That seems wrong, but it also is much closer to the thing, and it would keep people from parking there.
But they have to cross the driveway.
Then they have to cross the driveway, yeah. Right at the entrance. Okay. That's all. Nope, I don't have any more comments.
Aaron?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I appreciated the idea with the railing there at the tight spot. That seemed to make sense, and again, with Karis, I appreciated having the walk all the way around. I think that's an improvement, and for a practical reason too. And also why the change is happening, you got to be wise with the limited funds that the clinic has, so it makes sense.
Aaron?
Yeah, I think you've done a nice job, a very nice set of drawings. Can I get the pointer? The barrier at the southeast corner, I don't think anything's protecting this area, so maybe that, I don't know, just a thought, maybe there's four bollards that are open that you can walk through there that protects that entire piece of the building, because as designed, it's just protecting that corner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The arbutus, I agree with
the comment about it blocking the signage. Maybe these three trees slide over together, and mm-hmm. I just thought maybe you lose this tree and put it over here, so that you know you've got continuity on both sides of the building. That is pretty much all I had. I'm assuming the new walls will match the existing as far as finish.
The garden walls?
Yeah.
No.
Are we going to have two different finishes?
I was planning to just use plain cast concrete for the little walls to be different from the existing sort of a heavy plaster texture.
Okay.
It's a little bit different. Those walls are interesting because the planting bed actually slopes up. So on the building side, the wall has height, but on the sidewalk side, it's a sloped planter to a very short wall.
Right.
And the new walls are going to be quite a bit lower.
Okay.
So I thought...
So two materials might be okay.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds okay. Last comment was... You know, could we maybe get some trees out in these fingers? It'd be nice if there's existing irrigation out there to, at least in those fingers, to get some trees, small trees. So those are my comments.
Mr. Chair, can I interrupt to address Member Shaler's comment about the minutes?
Sure.
We pulled the minutes. The project came to DRB September 13th of last year. And there were comments, and then they came back September 27th addressing DRB's comments, and it was approved at that time. So I'll just pass this along for comments.
Well, Bill's reviewing that. I'll chime in. I think it's well done, and I get having the scale back. So I think you've provided a lot of great ideas and information, and I'm okay with the railing here. I didn't see any color on it. Did you list any colors? Is it going to be...
No, you're right. I didn't select that color yet.
I would suggest maybe trying to do some sort of anodized bronze palette to kind of match the windows and the building and all that kind of thing.
Yes, you're right.
I like that you're... The new window is going to go back to matching the existing. I think that's a good call. It was
good.
It was a little... I didn't mind them wanting to make it jump out a little bit since it's coming out to the overhang and it is different, but I support that. I think that's good. And other than that, I could support this. I think it's good. So, any comments, Bill?
Hey, Chair, and thanks for providing these minutes. I appreciate that. One of the things on here was it said, number 8, the removal of the pole sign is appreciated. Is that intended to be removed?
No, the property owner wants to maintain the pole sign, and we have not prepared it yet, but we will be coming in with signage for that spot on the building that you pointed out and also for the pole sign, just a refinish of the pole sign.
All right, well, if that's it, we're here for a revised design review. Would somebody like to make a motion?
Where do we stand on the bollards? I kind of like that idea of doing the bollards instead of the... How are you on that?
That's great. That can be a comment.
Included in the motion.
Included in the motion as a suggestion.
How are you guys...
To clarify, I believe you said additional bollards adjacent to the railing.
To basically expand it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
To extend that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Open bollards in addition to the railing at the tight spot.
Mm-hmm.
And would your client be all right with that?
I'm sure the client would be fine with that.
So I'll try for this.
Okay.
I motion to approve as submitted, finding that it meets the conditions of neighborhood compatibility, etc., on the condition that the applicant install bollards to the north and south of the rail at the quote-unquote tight spot there on the southeast corner, southeast corner of the lot.
And to consider trees in the fingers?
And trees in the parking fingers.
Is that it?
I'll second that if I could add a few things.
Okay.
the comment about the trees locations in terms of the signage on the south side, that was the only other important thing.
Okay.
So I'll revise my motion to include the location of trees in regards to the signage.
Great. Can I get a second?
Second.
Oh, you already seconded. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Great. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we go back now? Okay. Okay. Then item E1.
Item E1 is advisory review. It's Fire Station 10, located at 7952 Hollister Avenue, APN 079-210-075, case number 17-069-DRB.
Mr. Chair, since this is a city project, it is here before the DRB for advisory only,
mm-hmm.
so no action needed. Ms. Bradley is, Laura Bradley is the project planner, and I think most of you know Vito, and then he can introduce the team.
Great.
Good afternoon. So I am now happy to be presenting the Fire Station 10 team and project. This is a high priority capital project, and the project description's in your staff report. It's essentially an 11,600 square foot building. The architect's team will go through that in more detail. It's got a 30 person meeting room, some parking, some ancillary facilities peculiar to a fire station. There's been a significant amount of community outreach on the part of the Neighborhood Services and Public Safety Department. And this is the beginning step of the local planning process. This project will require a coastal development permit at the end by the Coastal Commission, as well as locally your blessing, and also a development plan, a rezone, and a general plan amendment. Those applications are about to be filed, but we wanted to make sure that we got your feedback before we began environmental review. So with that, I want to remind you of Mr. Adamides here, and he can introduce the team.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the Design Review Board. My name is Vito Adamides. I'm the Director of Neighborhood Services and Public Safety. We're pleased to have the project team here before you today. I'd like to start off with some introductions. To my left, Captain Michael Kluzik with the County Fire Department, Mr. Todd Jesperson with the KBZ architect firm, the design team, Mr. Sam Mathis, the landscape architect, Ms. Siobhan Duran with KBZ, and also Mr. Robert Schmidt with Flowers and Associates Engineers. As Ms. Bradley indicated, staff has worked closely with the community on this project. This project, the genesis of this project started in 1967. So it's probably the longest project contemplated that you'll see at least today, but it's an important one for the city, and certainly we have a great partnership with the County Fire Department and the county. There was an MOU that was executed between the city and the county to provide the funding for this project. We've worked very closely with the Hideaway Homeowner Association. I just wanted to thank Mr. Miller, Robert Miller, who's here today, and his association for all the great feedback that we've received from the residents and that we've captured. In fact, it's part of your attachment in the PowerPoint. Slides 24 through 35 really capture the comments that we received and the changes that were made as a result of the input. So with that, pleased to be here today in front of you as we talk about Fire Station 10 and bringing this important project to the community to help increase public safety for the city of Goleta.
Great.
Excellent. Mr. Chair, board members, thank you for having me. What I hope to do, go ahead and roll out the plans. Will these fit? Yeah.
Does Siobhan have it? Okay, I'm sorry. Use a full size.
Okay. I believe you have the same packets on 11 by 17, and what I'm going to do, I think, is probably go very briefly through our kind of grading and drainage improvements. This was done for more of a technical aspect, make sure that as we head into environmental that we've got those kind of grading and drainage problems solved. Essentially, the pattern of the drainage starts to occur from up at the corner near where the overpass is. This is Hollister out in front of the station and Cathedral Oaks coming in alongside. So the new overpass to the west there is kind of the high point of the site. Thank you. And it tends to drain across the site down towards the lower corner at Hollister. So we're essentially going to be maintaining that general drainage pattern as it comes across there. Again, because we have a relatively large footprint on the site, we are going to have to kind of level things out, although it looks like our net is about 1,400 cubic yards of fill to kind of accomplish that leveling out of things. And then again, just conceptually in terms of drainage, we have a small retention basin out in the front, and then our parking lot near Hollister at that east end of the site will be in permeable pavers, so we can also have to help to capture some of that surface drain water in that method. And that is what we see here in this lower corner of the area. All right, the third page is just the utility plan. Again, just sort of showing what's going underneath those permeable pavers and how that groundwater is captured and then the overflows out into drainage at that low point of the site. All right. So I'll kind of take you through our process and where we ended up with in the site plan. Let Sam talk about the landscape improvements and then circle back to me in terms of the building and kind of materials itself. So the first thing in terms of the site, we've got, as Laura said, a little over 11,000 square feet of the building on about an acre and a half. So we're utilizing a fairly good amount of the site. And what was sort of driving the site design of the project was the apparatus bay. So again, this is the kind of primary reason for the building being out there, right, is getting the trucks and making sure that they can get in and out of the site. The requirements in addition to the large apparatus bay is we have requirements to be able to stage equipment out in the front as they start to exit so that they don't have to exit too close and roll onto the street. And then to get them around the back of the building in a pull-through type arrangement. A lot of the older stations only had a back-end type of thing, and it's a huge safety concern. So you'll see all of the modern stations where they aren't severely site-constrained using this kind of pull-through arrangement. So as you can see, once you get kind of the large apparatus bay, the front requirement and the back, and our sort of triangular-shaped site, that it really mandated that that apparatus bay kind of land in the middle of the site where it is. And then the rest of the building kind of fell out around that. In terms of the rest of the site development, so now we've got this exit apron before the trucks will roll out onto Hollister. So we started to look at what happens at the traffic that is along Hollister. So making sure that the trucks have good visibility as they exit the station, as they're going to a call, and the drivers have good visibility of the trucks, so both ways on that. We did not, we had looked at originally a second driveway, trying to get kind of out of this back area and onto Hollister, The arrangement that we've got with the traffic along Hollister and the stop sign is that you've got quite a big queuing area that occurs back here. And we did not feel that it was advisable to kind of create a driveway that was too close to that intersection. So that left us with creating our sort of primary public and back of house entrance here on the east side of the lot. So once we had kind of, this is the way that we're going to come in and out of the site for the private traffic and the trucks entering back into the station, that left us with this side of the building for kind of the public use. So our community room, the entry, and all those kind of daytime uses of the fire station occur on this east side. Although we did try to shift as much as we could for the building onto the west side, sort of to bring our development away from the neighboring property. So we see kind of our nighttime or occasional uses out on that west end of the property. All right. So in keeping along with the rest of the site development, conceptually with the lighting, we're going to adhere to the kind of dark sky principles of that. So full cutoff lighting, make sure that all of our fixtures are bug rated, so they've got backlight, uplight, and glare controlled. And again, out of respect both for the immediate neighbors and then kind of the surrounding area to make sure we're only getting light where we need it on the property. Other additional features on the site, so we're going to have a primary station sign out in the front here, and then a small kind of monument sign indicating for traffic that's coming along Hollister that this would be where you enter the site. But again, kind of our primary building identification would be out kind of in the alongside of the apparatus bay. The walkway along the front, we had input from the community on that, that again, trying to go with a curvilinear and create a little bit of space in between the street and the sidewalk so that we get a parkway, a little bit of a landscape buffer along in there. We're starting to look at what we can do with the corner here, in that we don't want this to be a sidewalk to nowhere, so we're trying to figure out how we can cut through there and just kind of extend that sidewalk and get across Cathedral Oaks on that side. All right, as we get around to the back end of the site, right now you'll see the kind of dashed line that sort of zigzags back and forth along in here. That's our current top of slope. And if you've kind of seen the back of the property, it is, we do have some heavy erosion that's happening on that north side of the site. So we are essentially going to employ the same solution that was done for the Hideaway project, and that we'll have large cast piles that will occur along that north property line to kind of recapture that site, make sure that we don't have any further erosion, and that we can keep a stable site back here, as we will have some fairly heavy loading with the fire vehicle apparatus kind of moving through this driveway and entering into the back of the building. The other kind of accessory buildings that happen around the site, so as the trucks are rolling back, we've got some site storage in our trash and recycle area away from the neighbors, but still in proximity to the building for access. And then the truck refueling station, again, is kind of at the end of this roundabout, again, sort of respecting the neighbors' wishes to not kind of have a hazard too close to them in terms of that fuel storage and that generator that will occasionally be run either for kind of maintenance exercise or when it's needed. So that happens out here at the very far end of the site. All right.
Just wanted to share this turnaround area that Mr. Mm-hmm. Jesperson was referring to. It came as a result of some feedback that we received from the community next door. Fire engines and fire apparatus have alerts that when you put them in reverse, they beep and they make noise. Some people like the beep, some don't.
Wait, who likes the beep?
Some people.
And so I, because Captain Kluzik was really the originator of the idea to, well, maybe I'll let you speak to it, but he really came up with the idea of what you're seeing here today, which really serves the project well and really addresses the you know, potential concern from neighbors about fire engines. So why don't you speak to it a little bit?
Yeah, certainly. So from the fire department's perspective, you know, what our input is to be good neighbors.
you know, we're going to be there for a long time. We're there for the neighborhood to begin with. And what our input in, what my input is with KBZ and with Sam and the landscape development, is to just make sure that we incorporate everything we can do to minimize our impact into the neighborhood. So whether it be moving the fuel station, we know the fuel station is there, we know the generator's there, but we've asked for it to be as far away, you know, basically covered by the building from the, you know, so that's why it ended up where it did over here instead of back here. I think at some point we were back in this area. So so that's what we're shooting for as far as the fire department, as far as the design goes on the outside, is just to have, you know, good neighbor relations in mind. And, you know, we're happy to participate in the neighborhood discussions, the community outreach that's happened, and make sure that we take all that in consideration in our operation of the fire station that still needs to occur, but with as minimal impact to the community as we can get. So.
Okay. All right. The last thing that I wanted to touch on, just in terms of site development or site plan, was that the back of the yard really needs to be a kind of secure perimeter for the fire station. So essentially, we've got fencing and a motorized gate that'll go across the driveway, and then a perimeter solid wall that'll occur around the back of the site, and then kind of back to an open fence next to that. So we'd be, our intent is going to match the wrought iron that's already existing there on the hideaways. This will be in close proximity. I think that covers all of the kind of site features. I'll let Sam talk about the landscape improvements there.
Thank you, Todd. I'm going to roll this out because we had looked at it, and I think I'll start with the kind of site as it exists now. The existing conditions really are a lot of overgrown and very large eucalyptus trees, as well as specimen companiops and a sycamore and some Monterey cypress on the west end. So if I had that pointer, Scott, is that underneath there? So some of the trees on this end of the property are in good enough shape that we would like to try to retain them. Now we're doing some work, of course, with this grading of the cul-de-sac and some of the aforementioned grading across this part of the site. So we're still in a study as to how the stormwater is really going to work. I'd like to create a dry stream and bioswale and let this be kind of a... Yes, that's kind of the impact that it could be, you know, a good example of stormwater management. It also could be a very good example of good fuel modification and planting and landscaping around high fire areas. So we'd like to utilize two of those themes in our development of the landscape plan, as well as, of course, for the fire department and the firemen that are working to minimize maintenance. So we've had some good discussions with the chief about certain other stations that are very high in maintenance. And this one, we're going to be clearing quite a few trees, but we do want to try to retain some. We're still studying whether or not they're in a good position to be retained. But that's showing the existing site. And if you go to the next sheet, our conceptual landscape plan kind of plays off the storm management of that dry creek bed, if you will. We do add some trees in the front on both the west and a little bit on the east side, but one of the other main conditions of a safety concern is the visibility coming down Hollister, approaching towards the west and approaching from the east. There's some real need to see these fire trucks as they come out onto this ramping area with their lights on, to give people a long ways away as they're coming some degree of visual access to the emergency that might be happening in front of them to slow down. So this area and the large trees are trying to be kept far enough back, not too close to the building for a fuel modification exhibit, if you will, but we're trying to keep this very open so this bay is visible from a long distance. We're trying to add some screening along this property line with, again, respect to our neighbors. There was conditions about them looking at the building mass on this side, so we'd like to plant tall enough material here to create kind of a nice buffer and a nice screen edge. But I do want to break it up with some trees periodically. I don't want to make a solid row of trees because there was discussion with the neighbors about seeing through to the ocean view and across to the golf course. So we're trying to leave little vistas and little slots where there could be open sky, open southern viewing. So that's why we're spacing the trees in that condition. We've got a little outdoor kind of break area off of the workout room and the conference room. We're trying to screen that with larger shrubs and the Arbutus marina is a plant that we're bringing in. I heard in the last discussion something about the edible fruit, and I think they might appreciate, you know, being having some edible fruit in this area. But Monterey cypress, there's a couple of key trees. We've got two over here that are existing. We might want to try to play off of that, so I'm showing some large skyline trees that we're bringing in. Also some oak trees that I'd like to bring in more of a sustainable and drought-tolerant type of exhibit. I think there's three things to landscape, or four things. It's going to be the safety aspect of keeping things back and screening things only if they're necessary. It's going to be the fuel and fire modification example that we can show the public as to how to keep zone one very low around the building to keep fire mitigated. Zone two, there'll be some places with certain spacing where we can put trees. In zone three, there'll be more native and drought tolerant low plants that will need very little maintenance. So I think that conceptually is where we're driving the landscape plan right now. And I think that kind of summarizes most of our efforts so far in the concept.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some copies, extra copies.
So this is just an enlargement of the building. We more or less kind of went over what the various functions were and took the public side on the east, the apparatus bay, and then kind of the nighttime or occasional use and support for the apparatus bay out there on the west. What I'd like to do now is kind of flip to the elevation so we can talk about what the building actually looks like. So in terms of aesthetic, our idea was to kind of make a little bit more modern play on the craftsman aesthetic in terms of seeing some heavy beam rafter tails exposed, some vertical, what will look like wood siding. Of course, being a fire station, I like to become non-combustible material, so we'll use a fiber cement composite or something like that. And standing seam metal roof, and then kind of contrasted with some plaster elements, particularly near where the entry is. So as we look at the south elevation, which is the Hollister side elevation, we kind of have a little bit of a vertical element drawing attention to where that entry is. The community room with the large bay windows facing Hollister, the apparatus bay with the three 14 by 14 doors. These are the kind of a newer version of fire station doors that are bifolds, kind of like you might find on a residential closet. They tend to open very quickly, and they don't have the problem of the trucks hitting them when they're trying to go out too fast as the doors are rolling up. So it's really an excellent innovation. They're also very quiet when they're operating. So. And then on the other side of that, we're seeing the dorm rooms and those support spaces out there on the west. The wainscot is just shown plain right now, but we're thinking of some sort of stone material or a vertical wood siding. Still kind of playing with the aesthetic and the colors, but really trying to ground that vertical siding into something and give that building a base all the way across. The windows, again, kind of hoping to get into some simulated divided lights. Again, with the energy code, our true divided lights are more and more difficult to achieve these days, but want to play with that kind of a craftsman mullion type appearances across there. On the north elevation, this is the elevation facing the railroad. Again, kind of just a repetition of what I had talked about, those three apparatus bays. Kind of the back, this is our kitchen and dining area, and then the back of the support kind of office spaces. And then the dorm wings out here on the other side of the building. The west elevation is our one facing Cathedral Oaks, so kind of that short end of the building of the dorm wing, if I want to call it that, that faces that end. And then the east elevation is the one that will face the hideaways, where we see, again, kind of that entry element. And then we've tried to kind of break up that massing along there and step it back as it goes along. Again, it is a big building, but we're doing what we can to try and, again, kind of break up those masses, bring some relief to it, and make it seem a little bit smaller as it faces the neighboring buildings there. All right. So in terms of our building heights, we indicate almost 32 feet, which is sort of the pinnacle of that entry element. We hit a little bit higher with the what we're calling kind of a lantern or cupola over the apparatus bay is just under 38 feet. And then our kind of the real main roof, if you will, that's over the apparatus bay. So it has a small ridge to it, but that occurs just a little above 30 feet high. Again, that's kind of where we're at in terms of the aesthetics. We're still, we're the color scheme is just sort of the general concept in terms of trying to think of the kind of the warm, neutral to warm tones in there. But again, I think as we get further along in the process, we'll take a harder look at that exact color palette. All right. And I think the rest of us is just landscape. So I think that's what we've got for a description of the building.
Okay.
Great. Excellent. Dennis, do you have any questions?
Yes. Could you talk about the cupolas, both in, over the corridors and the service bay?
Yes. So, again, we had a very large space over the apparatus bay. So, again, trying to bring a small cupola with some clear story windows in there so that we can get light, kind of natural lighting into that apparatus bay. Not quite the same thing happening over the community room and that end of the wing, but trying to, again, create a little pop-up of the roof and then clear story windows underneath that on both the north and the south side.
So do those, I understand the one over the service bay, that sounds very useful and will be very productive for that space, but the other two just light the hallways?
It's a fairly wide roof that we've got there. So one side of it, on this north side, the clear stories actually occur above the community room. Uh-huh. And then on the south side, it reaches across the kitchen and dining room to provide some light into that space. And then a little bit into, there's a little hallway stub that goes back to the day room.
Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, on the west end?
Yes, on the west end, we have a little bit of a ridge skylight, and that is primarily just for the corridor lighting
the
in between the dorm rooms, because we didn't want to provide too much light into the sleeping quarters.
What, does the tower serve any other purpose other than the public lobby? Specifically, is it open height and day lit?
Yes, so we are planning for a real window to occur high up, and that for that to be a volume space in there.
I think that's all the questions I had. Thanks.
Karis, any questions?
You said the fence design was wrought iron, matching the existing one on the neighbor's side, and that's to go all the way around the entire site, coming through the landscaping towards the building side?
No, I may have misspoken on that. So the wrought iron would only occur at the front-facing sides. We see a little bit of it here. We'll go one more sheet back. There we go. So the existing fence at the hideaways comes up to just this point right here where it transitions into a wall, and that's where we would pick up our fence kind of coming across the driveway with that motorized fence and then continue the wrought iron to the building. The rest of this would be a solid CMU wall, probably a split face or something like that, coming around the perimeter until we get adjacent to the building again, and we'd go switch back to an open fence again, just try to provide something a little bit lighter against the building.
Where does it?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
How does it transition?
I don't get where it gets from there. I don't get where it gets from here to here.
Yes, and you seem to have missed a connector. But there would be a transition because to kind of connect. This is the wall as it here, so we need to kind of make that connection.
Okay, got
that
it.
Area.
So on the curve, there will be a wall. What's approximate height of that?
So we would probably make that to 8 feet because that is going to hide our emergency generator, which will be an actual enclosure for sound reasons, and then a screen wall around the fuel station, which is immediately adjacent.
The number of parking spaces that you have for the men at the station, is that enough? Is that how many men you have? I don't know how many men you're intending to live there, but
that accounts for oncoming and offgoing crew.
So this will be likely 3 to 4 personnel per day assigned to the station full-time.
Okay.
So we have enough parking for oncoming and offgoing crew that come and go at the same time.
At the same time. So you got 8.
Right. So we have a minimum of 8 and then enough to be able to park around and then find their spots.
One more question. The decibels on the generator. Is it a big generator? Is it quite loud? It's quite loud.
Well, it'll be in an enclosure.
Like an 8-foot-high fence wall all around it,
right,
to contain the noise.
Yes, it will be an actual enclosure. Yeah,
it'll be a CMU enclosure.
And the top too.
Yes.
Ah, okay, totally. And this is a circular thing here. Is this your retention area? Proposed retention area? I'm not. Yes. I was just. How does that
on the grading plan? You're referring to the retention area. It's for stormwater management. So we're still studying the site. It's where the water will settle as it then filters and percolates and moves through the overflows.
And it'll be underneath.
And it'll be inside the landscape plantings.
Under, or
well, it'll be part of.
Part of.
Part of.
And connected. Okay.
It'll be a little depression.
Okay, and I have just one more question. It's kind of a weird question. Slope stabilization on the back side. You said you were going to do cast piles. You were thinking of?
Yes. So just as a quick description, again, similar to what they did at the hideaway, we have essentially large 5-foot diameter concrete piles that are spaced, I can't remember what the spacing was, it was maybe like 10 feet apart. And then in between those, they do smaller cast piles in between in a little bit of an arc, which again kind of forms that retaining wall.
And you're basically bringing all the water away from that slope.
Yes, it is. Yes, though it is moving towards the Hollister side of the site.
That makes sense. And then the other thing, this is just the Canadian in me. There are places where they have, like around the fire stations and the hospitals that are in big city areas and stuff, the residents have sort of said, oh, geez, you guys go on calls all the time, and so they only run their lights and no sirens until they get to a certain point. You know, like if you get on the freeway or whatever and you need them, then they do it that way. Have you guys ever considered something like that?
Yes, no.
considered it and decided against it.
Well, by California Vehicle Code, we are to run our lights with our siren at all times.
Oh.
However, common sense dictates that at 2 in the morning or any time where there's not traffic, we tend to not run our siren just by using common sense. So, again, being good neighbors, we're aware of how much noise we could make, and we try not to if we don't have to. So if you have a line of cars out in front and people aren't getting out of the way, then you get air horn, sirens. If everybody is out of the way, and certainly middle of the night, you know, after hours, and this is not a tremendously busy area to begin with. So,
I think
the neighborhood is going to be remarkably pleased with how little they actually interface.
And have we considered it like one of the keep clear areas on Hollister?
Yeah.
On the
striping.
Already, I didn't see anything.
Yeah, it's not,
figured.
Not shown, that but would that would be
yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, we're just all working with Public Works on that queuing area.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I think that was all my questions. Thank you.
Aaron?
Oh, I have one more. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Is the community room for the community? Like, mm-hmm. People can rent it or something for the birthday parties, kids? is it that kind of thing?
It was envisioned that when we have community meetings in that part of the city, that it could be an opportunity to invite members of the community to come and participate. It's also envisioned that part of our CERT training program at the city, we could have CERT training events at this location. The training room and the community room are a joint use in that it's a training room for the fire personnel and it's also a community room for the city. So we would work closely with the on-duty personnel to make sure that room was, you know, properly reserved and, used for community-type events. I don't envision it being used for, graduation parties or...
It's
a great location, it really is. But we're just excited to have a community room on that end of the city because we've often had to use the Elwood School auditorium to conduct meetings. And we think this will be a much better location. Just overall, this is not a Spartan-type fire station. The council gave direction early on, as the design team is well aware, that they wanted a gateway project. They wanted something that really looked good and really kind of raised the bar for a public facility. And so that was part of what was envisioned when the idea of including a community room was incorporated into the design.
That's great. I have to say, I worked on the San Marcos Parent-Child Workshop Committee for years and years and years, and the best seller by far on every silent auction we ever had is when you get to go have your kid's birthday party at the fire station. You get to try on the things and go in the thing. So would that be available for something like that? If we could convince the four guys to...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think we could certainly coordinate with on the station personnel on that.
Yeah. I don't know that we... You know, we have tours. Every one of our fire stations is open any day to any member of the community. They are your fire station. Mm-hmm. So it's your fire equipment. We are your, you know, employed by you to protect you. So we're happy to have, and we do a lot of tours. So tours of the fire station, birthday parties at the fire station, dinners at the fire station. We're happy to do it. Probably wouldn't take a community room to do that. We're just happy to interface with the community and open our doors to whoever is interested in visiting.
Okay, thank you.
I've got comments that'll come up later, but a question: did we ask for if there were any public comments on this item?
I didn't ask if there were public comments because I didn't have any speaker slips. Okay. So, any questions, Aaron?
Just paving materials for the walkways. Any just concrete or?
I think we're looking at concrete for the main walkways, the street side walkways, but we are going to be doing some nice enhanced pavers in this parking.
This here? There.
So that'll be some kind of a nice pattern, a scoring pattern, so that'll
so
be enhanced paving.
The hatched area is pavers?
No, the hatched area will be an enhanced concrete with an etched or a control joint pattern, and then we'll have some pavers out in this front area for the public to park on. It'll be part of stormwater management
in the parking bay. Cool.
Yeah. So it'll be colored and enhanced concrete, most likely for durability.
I think that was my only question. Yeah.
Bill?
Thank you, Chair. I had a question of staff to start out with. This is a request for advisory review. Is this advisory review mandatory or discretionary on behalf of the city of Goleta?
Actually Mary might be able to help with that.
it is not mandatory, but we felt that it would be worthwhile to bring to DRB to incorporate your comments in the design.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, this project will be using recycled water? Because it's along the line, the recycled water line, so presumably that was...
Yes, if it's available...
If we have it close, we will use it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
Sorry, I was involved with the Cathedral Oaks landscaping project and the Cathedral Oaks overcrossing, so I believe that he actually put in all the recycled water,
yes,
right?
It's right next to...
Maybe Mr. Schmidt can...
We're in the process of the water district right now, and as part of it, it will be recycled. The recycled line goes all the way out to Bacara, so we'll be grabbing onto that.
Perfect. Okay. I'm glad to hear that's another good long-term investment that's paying off. I guess one of the things I have, what is the height of the apparatus bay, just of the bay itself?
So the doors that we see are 14 by 14.
And the roof of the bay would
and
be?
And then the roof, the small ridge that we have across there is 30 foot, 3 inches.
How much would the building site be elevated over what it currently is? Because you said you're going to be doing some infill of
correct.
Soils.
It's Robert may be able to speak to this a little better.
The location of the apparatus bay is pretty close to what's existing right there.
Okay.
We fill kind of in this lower corner, kind of right there, just because it's a low point. So we thought we can get all the drainage out to the streets.
On the solid wall that's being proposed, and
it appears that that could be pretty visible to people as they're heading east on Hollister. And if it's 8 foot tall, is it going to be screened? Is there going to be some extensive landscaping that keeps people who are at that corner at the overpass from looking at an 8 foot solid wall?
I think if you refer back to the landscape plan quickly, you can see that that is the area where we do have some existing trees, and we're trying to retain those in the early study of what we're looking at, as well as providing additional screening around that corner with some taller shrubs. So we do show taller to medium-sized shrubs to be a good buffer and foreground to that wall space.
Okay, good. I appreciate that, because that is going to be kind of a large massing right there at a kind of highly visible entrance to Goleta, and to just see a wall would be disappointing. So the most you can provide vegetative depth in front of that would be...
I think we have adequate space landscape-wise to create, you know, a layered buffer of good planting material against that wall towards the street. So as you're coming from the height of the bridge, you're dropping
this
vertically down
lower.
8 feet. Mm-hmm. It's higher, so you're looking down at this. But at street level, you're right, the wall will be a vertical mass that we will be able to screen.
On the north slope, there's kind of a sunken area there where the, it looks like the eucalyptus trees have are down kind of below grade. Will those be removed as well? Or basically all the eucalyptus trees on the entire site will be removed?
Yes, they will.
And the only eucalyptus trees that will then be remaining are the ones on the other side of the railroad tracks.
Correct. Yeah, there's quite a grove on that other side, and that'll remain. That's off property.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I have. Thank you.
I had one more question.
Okay.
Has there been a biologist report in terms of butterflies, birds? All that in terms of the trees that you're removing?
Yeah, there have been several, and well, there was one last updated last summer, and so we've got all that going into environmental review. There were no habitats for endangered species or anything like that, or you know, CDFW species, so it looks pretty good so far.
Okay. Before we get to comments, we have a couple of speaker slips from the public. I'll start with Robert Miller. Linda's a podium operator? Okay, great.
Thank you. I just want to thank the city and the fire department for the process that we've gone through. My name is Robert Miller, and I'm president of the Hideaway Community Association. We had two meetings, both at Elwood School, and the first meeting, a design was presented to us, and we had a number of concerns about the design. And after that meeting, we kind of gathered and collected our thoughts and prepared a letter that we sent to the city outlining, I think it was 12 areas of concern. And I was flattered that the city actually took that and identified all our concerns on a plan view of it and addressed each and every one of them. I don't know that they necessarily agreed with everything we said, but they agreed with a number of them. So we are really appreciative of that process. I just have, I don't know, it's not my role here to ask questions, but I have, there's a couple things I wasn't aware of or hadn't thought about. One is the along the driveway that where the trucks come back in next to the Hideaway, I didn't understand whether there's going to be a wall along there. We already have a wall. Hideaway has a wall that's a concrete wall about so high, and then there's wrought iron on top of that. And I'm just curious whether we're going to have two walls, in other words, a fire station wall on top of our wall. I don't know. The other question I had is I didn't realize also there was going to be a gate there, and I'm just curious the height of the a gate. So I can sit down and you can answer those, or maybe somebody can address that for us.
Okay, can you address those two things real quick?
Sure, so in terms of the wall, it would be our intent to leave the existing wall along the property line, except where we get back to the corner. I'm not sure that it comes out quite as far as where we would intersect with our new north property line wall, so we would do an extension of that.
Pick it up from there and go.
Exactly, so no sense in having two walls to duplicate okay. the problem there. And then in terms of the sliding gate here, we would want that to be probably 8 feet, again, just as a security measure as it goes across there. So we may be, I'm not sure the height of that existing fence line, but we'd be somewhere close to that. Yeah,
I think some of the residents may be disappointed to know there's going to be a gate there because that will block their view to some extent, but I understand the reasoning for it.
Okay. Next, Jane Ryder.
Somebody left their phone. You answered the question a little bit, touched on with the eucalyptus trees. So I reside at the hideaway. And so all of those magnificent eucalyptus trees that have been there forever, that are kind of this focal point and this great ambiance when you get off at Winchester to go to the Sandpiper or the Bacara or to where we reside, those trees, all of those are going to be removed?
Yeah, all the eucalyptus on the back east and north and west end are going to need to be removed for the driveway, the building, all the improvements for the fire station and the grading and for all of that. So we're retaining the trees, as I mentioned, on the west and south side as much as we can.
Okay.
And we're creating some new skyline trees, but
there is some on the south side Hofstra, also east on the car.
No. Some eucalyptus?
There is, yeah. There's a whole row on the south side.
On the other side of Hollister. But on our property, we're removing the eucalyptus.
No way of resurrecting them and consider me one of those endangered species that want them? I mean, it's just, it's really a shame. I understand my brother's on the fire department, and I work for a builder, a new home builder in the area. So I get it with the improvements and the need for the fire station and all of that, and living there, obviously. But it's just such a tragedy that all of those magnificent trees that create this incredible ambiance to the whole area, the street scene. I mean, it's going to change things for sure. It's hopefully you'll bring in some fabulous specimen trees and make up for it.
I think that's the intent. We're bringing in some Monterey cypress and some very large skyline trees for birds and wildlife, but the eucalyptus are kind of in the way of the progress of the fire station.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Disappointing.
It is. They're also pretty flammable as fire departments go. But anyway, sorry, Vito, you wanted to say something.
Mr. Chair and members of the Design Review Board, with regard to the trees, we have had an arborist report recently done. I think it was within the last year.
Oh, yeah.
Four of the trees are considered somewhat dangerous, and we have had some emergency requests for trimming of some limbs that were near the adjacent area here. If I can pinpoint on the map, I think it was somewhere around in this area there was a tree that had a limb that was needed to be trimmed. So because this is an Essential Facilities Act building, because it's a fire station, it's important that we make sure that there aren't any potential hazards around this essential facility. And we are working very closely with the landscape architect to really do a really good job on the landscaping, and regret the removal of the trees. However, because of where the building is situated and the development of the property, the removal of those trees will be necessary.
Okay. At this point, we'll go with comments. Dennis, do you want to start?
I was lost in the thought of the eucalyptus forest there for a moment. First of all, to the signage, I question the location and position of such a large signage when it really doesn't identify where you should go in. I suggest that it be closer to the front door and closer to the street, and perhaps combining the one that is a monument sign on the corner, or perhaps even consider putting using the tower as your sign, where it will be, because the tower doesn't seem to serve any other purpose. I'll jump back to that later on. The style image, now you say it's Craftsman, but I don't see a lot of Craftsman there. Not that I object to that at all, but it looks like it's struggling between Spanish colonial in the battered walls and the heavy base and Craftsman. The Craftsman I see in the low, broad, the low angled roof with broad eaves, but a Craftsman would never have a turned metal roof on it. A Craftsman style buildings also have a very consolidated floor plan, whereas this one has a lot of innies and outies. And just for a sheer construction and expenses, that is not Craftsman. They were meant to be very effective in their shape and form and buildability. And I think you could save a lot by consolidating a lot of these twists and turns. It almost looks like it's just been blocks that have been moved together. Not that it isn't a handsome design in itself, but the battered walls of the tower don't read Craftsman to me at all. I even wonder about the location of the tower. I'm jumping ahead, but there was a community comment that wanted the tower moved farther to the west, and I noticed here it did move 21 feet. Can you tell me what that specific comment was about, or somebody from the audience? What was it about the tower in that location?
I think it mostly had to do with the proximity to the neighbors, and again,
as a visual element.
Exactly, visual, yes. Views and stuff.
Is it their view to the ocean?
Probably.
Yes. Likely. Yeah, kind of across to the golf course and then on.
Well, simply as an identifier, it would make more sense to me to be out on the west where that intersection is, but this is a programming spatial analysis problem, but not to dwell on that. I do think you should make a stronger decision of which, if you're going to go Craftsman and keep on that point. There are so many different window styles in this. On every elevation, there are multiple window styles, and Craftsman, again, as the thriftiness, they use the same window over and over. Let's see. The variety of expressions and volumes, and then the day room on the back side is a completely different gesture with it, what it looks like a mansard roof, but a parapet roof in a different material. There again, it looks like a later addition in a new building, and that goes against a Craftsman aesthetic. Let's see, the relationship of the gate and the fence to the tower seems rather random, and it just comes up and intersects. That could be more carefully thought out. There are a few awnings over the building, one on the west end. I don't see any need for an awning there because the door is recessed under a generous roof overhang anyway. There's a really major thing here. You've gone to quite a difficult time here to find the front door. And the front door, if you look at the elevation, is this teeny tiny thing that's lost way back in a recess, and so you put a tower there to find the door. It kind of works against it. For my sense, the front door should have a more powerful visual identity from the street. Again, right, that has an awning over it where it seems like that could be done away with, and the roof could come down and replace the need for an awning or a covering over that. But I do think a more robust expression of the front door would do the assembly well. Well, I think that's enough.
No moan, mine's worse. I concur with the idea of how attached to the Craftsman style are you? I'm not seeing that it works particularly well in this location. You have the best views of the ocean from right in that location, and yet you want to put windows that have bars all over them. no offense to the poor guys who are living there, but I mean, they might want those nice, nice views. And you also have a couple second stories that seem to have no windows looking out at the ocean at all. And I'm wondering if maybe there's some opportunity there for you. If you could let go of the Mullen-style windows, maybe we could move into bigger windows, more light, more view. I mean, it just becomes prime location instead of trying to tuck them back in the thing. Okay, residents, are you willing to let go of that? Skylights, the towers and the cupolas, I think that people have very successfully used those higher elements to capture the breeze that is constantly, constantly blowing off the ocean, especially right in that spot. So you're going to have cool air coming all the time, and those buildings, you know, could get really, really hot with those metal roofs and everything. If you use your windows and your higher elements, right, the heat will go up to the high part, the wind will take it away, and then you'll end up cooling your entire building using those tower structures. I'm not attached to the placement of those tower structures. I'm sort of in agreement that if it interferes with the neighbor's view of the ocean, you know, maybe the tower would be better on one side or the other, but since you have them there already, I think they look cute, and I think we could use them more effectively as a heat dispersion unit as well. So it's sort of like a missed opportunity right now, but I think you guys can probably fix that. Not too shady, scoring the pavement fires, overflowing the street. Not terribly thrilled with overflowing the water onto the street. I bet with some grading happening, you could probably amend that and create some sort of capture units maybe underneath the paving so that instead of it just blumping out onto the street here, it could go somewhere else on site and help with your plant material so that they now have, you know, some sort of access to water, maybe later through the season. The sidewalk to nowhere, where the sidewalk ends, we finally found out where it is, it's there. I noticed I was there the other day and I was actually waiting for someone and there was nowhere to wait on that corner at all. So maybe the sidewalk ending could be a little waiting place for people who get off the bus here or who are getting onto the bus, or it's just a shady spot. As part of your public awareness thing, maybe there could even be little signs or something saying, oh, this is the native plant that, you know, doesn't use water, and look how great this is, and it doesn't catch fire, and, you know, your chance to sort of get a little bit into the public. Most people hate those signs anyway, but I don't know. I was thinking. There, public access. I did notice there was the white buckwheat. I don't know, did you see that there? It's so pretty, and it's sort of hard to find the white one, the native white one, so I don't know if you guys can save it or relocate them, or maybe, but there was a healthy population of them there in that area that you're intending to save anyway. So maybe we could do that. About your layout, when it comes down to 11 by 17, I can't actually read the plant names. I was like, oh, point cell something, I'm pretty sure. Even with the magnifying glass, I still, the font kind of, and you have a lot of room, so maybe we could just bump up those fonts a bit, because it was really hard to do that. The exit. The paving patterns on the, I think you said you wanted to draw more attention to the loading bays, is that what you call them? The place where they... Yeah, the apparatus base, but where they pull out before they get into the street to indicate to people that this was a fire station and that they should be aware that someone could be pulling out there really quickly. Maybe color or something? I don't know, people are maybe opposed to color, but some way of using all of that paving that's there, people, it does draw people's eyes to that amount of paving. Maybe we can somehow, you know, line or something that would just indicate like, hey, watch out, might be people coming out here really quick. Since you already have it and it's already there, if you could, I would maybe recommend just exploring that. Skylights. And the browns. I don't know how everybody feels about the browns, but I was there's a lot of brown. That's a lot of brown for me. That's all. That's all about the browns and the color. Okay, I think that's all my comments. Thank you.
All right, well, I'll start off with the most important things and work my way down. Scott, if I can presume to jump in. My main points have to do with it being the gateway project. Number one, it has to use the reclaimed water. We jump up and down about other projects using the reclaimed water. We've heard that, you know, a couple hundred yards is just too far to connect into it. So with it right in the front yard to not get used, I think, frankly, would almost be an embarrassment. And along that same line, making sure that every drop of water, hopefully literally every drop of water, gets retained and perked, not just put out to the street. That's the very last option, I would say. And then, again, with the Gateway project in mind, having 0% PV seems a little out of touch. I know there's not an infinite budget, so we're not going to get, 1,000 kilowatt hours out of it, but having something, and also maybe some conduit run for an EV station. If it's not today, it's someday, and it's not a trenching sort of thing when that day comes, because I don't think it's a question of if at this point, it's just a matter of when it comes. And then finally, another comment not really related to anything is having run quite a bit of heavy equipment in the tens and tens of tons, never having to back up is wonderful. So I totally commend, if that was your idea, a generous pull around so you always are driving straight. Just takes, well, it's a three-person project to back up. At least it was for us. So seems quite wise to me.
Aaron?
Overall, I think it's a pretty nice project. I don't know if I want to comment on architecture. I'll be real vague with architecture. I think the building is masked nicely, and there's some very pleasing elements, and I think it maybe just needs a stronger identity. I'll just leave it at that. The site plan, I like the fact you're using permeable paving in the parking bays. This parking bay here looks like you could get a little landscape against the trash recycle in there. Maybe a parking finger in there. Maybe a little more landscaping in here without messing with the turnaround. I thought the comment of providing some kind of seating area along the sidewalk was kind of a nice one. So that could be maybe incorporated. The eucalyptus, maybe you have to remove all of them. Maybe there's an opportunity to save one or two. You know, maybe study that a little closer. There might be a specimen there that's could be saved and be a nice gesture to what was there. If this is going to be a demonstration garden for the public, maybe there's a way to walk in through there and get up to the plants up close. Or maybe the sidewalk comes in a little more into the garden. Just something to think about. I think the sidewalk coming out to the entry walk coming out to the sidewalk on the landscape plan is better than what was shown on the architectural site plan, which I think there's no connection there. Reclaimed water, if it's going to be reclaimed, study your plant palette. Some plants don't like the heavy salts, so your plant palette may change a bit there. That's pretty much my comments.
Okay, Bill?
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to start off by saying I'm really personally grateful that this project is finally coming to fruition in Western Goleta. This has been needed for a long time, and I think it will improve the safety of people who live in this part of Goleta. So this is what I would consider a real class for beneficial impact.
I think the style is appropriate. I think there's been some good suggestions. I think as it exists as a fairly attractive building. I really want to thank the City of Goleta for the way they've worked with the community on this. I know several speakers have spoken about this, and you know that hasn't always been the case in other projects, and so this is really, really appreciated. Thanks for all of that. Now on the other side, I'm just kind of panicked by the whole massive tree removal that will occur there. That's a drastic change, I think. People, when they see that, will be absolutely shocked and horrified. And I'm not sure how the City of Goleta gets ahead of that. Who knows what it's going to look like when all those are taken down? Will we be staring directly at the overpass? Will it open up views of the mountains? I really haven't seen any simulations to kind of depict what the changes will actually be like. I know what it's like on the site now, but I don't know what it's going to like when all this really occurs. I really like Member Carroll's suggestion, if you can, just save a few, as many as you possibly can, as long as it's not creating a fire hazard or a public health hazard or a sightline hazard. Because for me, that part of Goleta, that was a historic highway. It has a historic canopy effect. I don't know if you've ever driven Pacific Coast Highway, California 1, through Pismo Beach, where you kind of get that same canopy effect there. It would be really an aesthetic loss to lose all of that. And if there's any way that any of it can be retained in any semblance, it would really be appreciated. We will see. I also want to say the building is very, it's large. It's large massing on a small site. As I'm looking at the numbers, you know, the 32 feet was one number that was put out there. And just for basis of comparison, the Hilton Garden is 30 feet. So you can see the impact that has at Stork Hollister. And it's not exactly the same kind of building and the same massing, but just to give you some scale perspective of the size that this building is actually going to be on a small site with all these trees removed. This is a really highly, highly visible project, high magnitude project. I really would have appreciated visual simulations from several locations to show when this thing really is built, whatever the architectural stock kind of is, whatever the massing is, and whatever the projected landscaping will be when it reaches maturity. What are we going to be looking at from, looking from across from Sandpiper, or looking on the overpass coming down Hollister towards the west, towards the Bacara? We've got lots of pictures in our packet of what it currently looks like, but really, I don't know what to expect in the future, the way this is all going to play out, and none of the photos or the simulations we've been given like these really provide that kind of perspective. And I guess the last thing that I will say, and I want to thank the comment regarding photovoltaics, the roof does appear capable of hosting a PV array on the south and west aspects. I know that Goleta is striving to embrace zero net energy for their buildings, and this is a perfect place to start.
Chair Branch, a couple of follow-up thoughts on that very fine observation. If the committee does return with the design because of those points that Bill just brought out, it would be helpful to see it in context with the neighboring buildings. How much bigger and in what scale and what relationship is it to those existing residences? That would be very helpful to see that relationship. And then to back off my comments about the Craftsman, it does seem that the massing is very fine, but I would encourage the architects to maybe take a closer look at the California Ranch-style work of Cliff May and William Worcester. I really think that you're awfully close to that design, much more than Craftsman, and you wouldn't struggle with some of these details that you are. I can actually think of a house by William Worcester that has a small tower, board and batten. I think that's much more the way, and it would be perfectly compatible with the surrounding to be that California ranch style.
No, go ahead, Karis. The floor is yours.
I was thinking about the tree issue. It's very difficult to get a eucalyptus not to be a fire hazard or to lose branches or to lose whole sections of it right onto people and the roads and everything. But maybe if there's some way we could look at the progress of construction when we do get to construction, that perhaps we build the bioswales and then plant right away so that the trees can begin to be established and maturing so that people aren't years and years without any sort of shade onto that area. I mean, you guys have to look at your budget and how that could come up, but maybe that's a way we could soften mm-hmm. the impact for the tree removal.
I concur with pretty much what everybody has said. I'm from the landscaping standpoint, I think you've utilized the site as logically as you can, given what your needs are. When I was reviewing this, I came to the same place Dennis did, whereas I wasn't seeing the craftsman part of it when it said that in the report, and so that I kept struggling. But then to step back from it, it actually is kind of a handsome massing, and I thought exactly what Dennis said, that it's more of a ranch style feel. But as I was trying to figure out what, the craftsman aspect of it, there were, you're starting to touch on it with big rafter tails, but then you got tiny ones here. You don't have outlookers. So maybe kind of go down that ranch road, all the different styles of windows, and then the flat roof structure out here that was, in my opinion, completely incongruous with everything else. But that said, it's still kind of a decent massing, and I'm not trying to say that I don't like it. I'm saying it doesn't fit craftsman in my head, but that we can try to give it another style. And I think some of the comments that Dennis was talking to with regards to overhangs and the entry and all that kind of stuff are well taken. But I think overall it's a handsome project, and it's from starting in the 60s, I think it shows that the city and the county is very good at allocating resources and efficiency. It's needed, and I think what you guys have got here is appropriate and heading in the right direction for sure. So I guess those are my comments. So this is advisory, so we don't have no motion. So, and we thank you guys for all your hard work and sharing it with us and sharing it with the community. And
Mr. Chair and the board, thank you very much. I appreciate your comments, and we'll definitely incorporate when we see you next time in the process.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here, for the opportunity to present the project to you. And again, we thank all the community members who we've had an opportunity to work with and obviously continue to work with. And thank you for your comments today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And this will bring us to our final item, item number G2.
Item G2 is design review. It is for the Ticolotito Creek Bridge, APN 073-330-052, the Village at Los Caneros Project, north of 1 South Los Caneros Road, case number 15-106-DRB.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members of the board. The applicant is currently seeking design review approval for the guardrail design for the bridge of Tecolotito Creek that is part of the Village at Los Canales project. The bridge will connect the new Cay Coral Drive, which is on the east side, over the Tecolotito Creek and to the Cortona Drive on the west side. The proposed bridge is approximately 55 feet wide and 77 feet long and is comprised of a four-piece prefabricated weathering steel composite with a concrete poured in place traffic deck and approximately 6-foot sidewalks on each side. The bridge rail includes a weathering steel-like ST40 guardrail. The guardrail is required by city requirements for safety reasons by our engineering department. The DRB last reviewed the design elements of the bridge on September 23, 2014. If you go to page 3 on the plans, the preliminary approval, there are photos of the preliminary approval design. It's in the lower right-hand corner, or left-hand corner. So at the time, a couple of years ago, or almost 3 years ago now, that the board granted preliminary approval, the DRB commented that they would like to the side railing of the bridge to have a see-through pattern, which is similar to the Kellogg Cathedral Oaks Bridge. Also, the board stated that the railing should be a rust or earth tone color and more vertical than horizontal. We've changed our system since this last came before you, so in September 2014, it received the preliminary design approval, and that is the appeal point. So there won't be any appeal potential process for at this level. So they are requesting for design review approval, and the findings for the original approval has already been made. So we won't need to do that today if you decide to go ahead and grant the design approval. That concludes my report, and we have Sarah Bronstadt from Comstock Homes here, and also Ginger, thank you, Anderson, I didn't call you Alexander, sorry, Ginger, of Stantec to representing the applicants.
Thanks, Kathy.
And hit the green, there you go.
There we go. Thanks, Kathy. Hi, everybody, I'm Ginger with Stantec. This is Sarah, like Kathy said. These are, as Kathy had said, the design input that we got back in September of 2014 was to make it look like the bridge at Kellogg, which is this second picture that we kind of handed out here, mm-hmm. And the weathered steel. So to kind of add to what Kathy said, the bridge is going to be a privately owned and maintained bridge by the Village at Los Carneros Master Homeowners Association. We've done extensive permitting with the Army Corps, CDFW, and Regional Water Quality Control Board. The abutments are located outside of the creek. Landscaping around and on either side is also already approved as part of the habitat restoration plan. The location of the guardrails is driven by safety concerns. So as far as where we have a vertical crossbar, and it's kind of shown over here as well,
mm-hmm.
Those locations are driven by structural and safety requirements. I believe the height is also driven by other requirements. So really, I think what we are looking at is, and also the spacing is also driven by,
Caltrans.
Sure.
So really, I think what we're limited to is the color and the
texture.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some netting underneath it, which will be tucked up underneath to keep birds and things out. I think that was all I really had. Other than that, the bridge will have bicycle and pedestrian path. And that's why it's kind of not going to look like the example. This has to be higher, and it has to look different based on the uses for this bridge versus that bridge. Is there anything else
I think we should touch on.
Pretty good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Let us know if you have any questions.
Bill, any questions / comments?
Sure. Yes, I do. Thank you, Chair. Do the sidewalks and the pavement align on both sides of Cortona?
Do they connect to?
Well, I know they connect, but do they connect in a linear fashion, or do they become bigger? Yeah.
I
see some streets in Goleta where the things don't exactly connect. Because one thing's wider and one is smaller, and I know that there's a certain width of the road on the Comstock side, and then there's a certain width over on the industrial park side. I'm just wondering if they all line up.
Right. So the signing and striping on the bridge is all being reviewed by Marty in Public Works, and she's going to make sure that it's safe and continuous.
I wasn't talking about the striping. I was talking about actually the sidewalks themselves, because there's sidewalks on both sides of the bridge and across the bridge to make sure that they're all in alignment.
I remember months ago when we were working on this and coordinating with Public Works staff that there is a change. It will be, there is an angle in there, but they worked along both with our engineers and with the applicant's engineers to make that a smooth transition. Okay. It is not perfectly lined up, so there will be an angle in there.
The bridge itself is 55 feet wide. And when I was out on the site visit, I noticed the trees that have been marked for removal. How much width has to be cleared, clearance on either side of the bridge so that there's no vegetation? Because I know it's clearly the amount of trees that are going to be removed from one side to the other or further across than 55 feet.
I'm not sure off the top of my head. I can grab the tree removal plan and we can look at that and look at exactly how much vegetation, unless either of you know off the top of your head of how much vegetation. We do have that information, though.
Yeah, I just have that it's the tree and shrub removal and protection plan was prepared by the biologist and approved by the city.
Okay,
as part of the habitat restoration plan for the open space adjacent to the bridge.
Right. I was just thinking when you drive across the bridge, how closely the trees will actually be, whether there'll be a large clearance, kind of created buffer space of sorts, which makes it a little less bucolic as a connection there. Let me move to another question then. Below the bridge, there's those reeds, those plants growing in those, and the creek is flowing right now still. Will those need to be removed in order to put the bridge in place?
Again, we have the plans for that. It wasn't because of the what we're looking at today for design review.
We're looking at color and finish of the bridge.
Period. So, and I absolutely have that information for you, and we have studied all of that. I just didn't bring that to the meeting today.
Let me refocus because this is, you're right, it is a very narrow scope. So this was to emulate the bridge at Kellogg, and the picture that was shown to us showed some stone pedestals at Ethan and the bridge. Will that be included in the project, or it's just going to be, it doesn't include this?
Correct.
It includes that.
Yeah, the example is...
This was the example, and this is what's being proposed.
Right. Here's another picture. Right. And the size and purpose of the example bridge is much smaller and
by code design. Can't be done, so...
And designed for a greater, expected traffic between the pedestrians, the bicycles, and the cars going both directions.
Okay. So I think you just answered my question. That photo there, is an accurate representation of what we're getting?
It's pretty close.
These diagonal bars
not there.
Won't be there. And then I think this is a handrail.
Yes.
And I'm not... Do we know if we have a handrail?
We do not.
So it's basically the vertical element and this double side kind of guardrail crash element.
Okay.
But the posts and the top rail will be the same.
Everything top else. Rail is going to match the pickets. Oh. So this says top rail will match pickets, not this. So this is a much thicker than what we're proposing to.
There's a detail down in the corner.
Right. And the
here's the down detail in down here.
Yeah.
Okay. So the posts and top, what's the posts are 4x4?
5x5. Right. The rail was designed to meet Caltrans ST40 crash protection rating, which required 2 5x5 horizontal steel crash bars placed approximately 1-2 feet above the sidewalk. Okay. And the top rail.
That's not the post, though. Those are the right. Crash bars on the side.
That's these, but it looks like they're similar in size. So he's asking about these.
The top and bottom rails are 1.5 by 1.5 inch weathering steel.
Okay.
Here's a section.
So how does that?
Posts, guardrail will have 5 inch by 5 inch beam posts.
So
it's the section. It's okay.
I think so this is an accurate detail here?
Yes.
Yes. So the rail post. Rail post is this. So they're 8 inch.
Okay.
So that's 8 and those are 5. So you got 8 and 5.
Right. Okay, I'm sort of getting it now.
Okay.
Right, this is the posts are 5x5 inch beams, 7 feet, 7 foot 8 inches on center.
Oh, they're calling these out. Okay, got it. Right.
We don't have those call outs in our package.
Oh,
it's in this table. It's just we added. Chris got a couple of clarification pointers on this exhibit since submitting it.
I have 2 more copies of that too. I can share.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Top rail will match the pickets.
Do you want the ones with the extra notes?
The pickets are 1.5 inches square.
So the top rail is going to die into the rail post.
So you're going to have a top rail. Well, it looks like it goes past it. But even still, I like where you're going with that.
It's kind of, I'm confused.
The height that you see here, it's just those are just lines to connect you to the dimensions. It's not going past the top rail, the pickets.
So
I see the panel, typical panel detail, but I don't see the posts in that detail. That's just the panel.
Do you mind if I jump in a
second? Yeah, go ahead. Please.
I know that we can only comment on finish and color. But hypothetically, let's just say we could talk about the rail.
The top rail?
Yeah. So okay. Now you've got, here's your post, right? If this is a 5x5 post that comes up,
mm-hmm.
and you're saying the top rail matches the picket. So now you've got the top of this post, and so that means the top rail is a 1.5 inch square sitting on top of that?
Yeah, right. That's
no, that's not right.
I'm not sure that's what we want.
And I'm is it
You can comment on the design. The parts that are the safety elements that are required by the city for Caltrans.
Are you sure we aren't showing it to be like that? That's how I'm reading that.
Well, but
and
it's
again,
saying
remember, this was used as the basis for the design.
Okay, so if I understand correctly, what you're saying is that we've got this post is going to come up, and the pickets are actually going to have a top rail like that and come down on the inside of it, like so. That's what this is showing. That's what's going on.
So that's kind of how I'm reading that.
Okay. That looks right to me.
So the top of that is square. Got it.
Scott, I don't read that as a post. I read it as an I-beam that's bolted to the horizontal I-beam.
Right.
Well, and that's.
But it does bring up the same point. What we're looking for is a smooth top rail to the hand that moves over that vertical. However that detail works out, I think that's what we're looking for.
Okay. We can handle that.
And these cross beams are
they're not in there.
That's
they're
not.
The diagonal ones, no.
Those are the handrails. This is not the proposal.
Okay. It's to show color and finish. So you, the comment I heard was a smooth top rail.
A continuous.
And it isn't interrupted by the vertical support.
Correct.
That I read as an IV.
Okay.
Right. Oh yeah, it is. I was looking too much. I was reading this as the actual bridge, but it's not. These are the components. Yeah, you're right.
So this detail shows the I-beams below and the post above.
So how's that top of that I-beam?
It does call it a rail post.
It calls out a rail post, and if you come here into the yellow and it says rail post, it's a W8x18.
Yes.
So that's an I-beam.
Right. And then the detail, the bolting detail, makes it read as an I-beam.
Yes, down here.
Yes.
Down here. And then it's a little, so here's our bottom picket rail. But the top one, it'd be nice to have that enlarged and see how that works. Because you're going to have, if you're going to kind of look down at it, you're going to have this thing looking like that. Right? That's looking like that. And then we've got this, the way it's detailed now, that railing comes off the very top. It's flush with the top.
Right.
And does this, and then your rails are underneath like this.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
See what I'm saying? So yep. So this should be on top of that.
So I think you've got the I-beam turned around, but the top rail would be...
Oh, right. It's coming. Yeah, no, it's coming, going the other way.
The
right.
The point is the same.
Yeah.
Is that the top of that I-beam post needs to be resolved in such a way that we get a smooth, continuous, and if you have to cut off or cant the top of that somehow in the steel fabrication, that would achieve it.
Exactly.
A lot of devils in that detail.
That's right. Right.
That really was the only thing I saw on the proposal.
I think the color and finish will be quite handsome. I'm fond of that
Corten
steel, the way it rusts into the landscape. It's a very innocuous design, although it's a huge bridge, though. It's quite a piece of engineering.
Yeah, I agree. Anybody else have any comments or questions or anecdotes?
No, those have to be a specific location for bumpers. Yeah.
All right, well, so do we make a motion on this? Oh, we do. All right, somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we accept the design as proposed with the modification suggested to the top rail to provide a continuous hand surface that isn't interrupted by the posts.
Perfect.
And now I'll second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Perfect. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so that takes us to our second or last announcements by members.
I will not be at the next meeting on holiday.
Okay, acknowledged. Which is when?
That's a good July 11th, and I forgot to mention we do only have one meeting in July, so that'd be
July
7/11.
I think I am here. Yeah. Okay. You're up.
So things have happened in the last couple weeks. I just want to remind everybody in the community that there are plenty of people who love you and care about you and will step in when times are tough. And you can seek those options out from lots of nonprofits around town. And it's a really very caring town, and you're part of a community that cares about you, not just in the macro sense, but as individuals. And so with that in mind, my wife has asked me after 10 years of public service to step down and spend some more time with my kids and her. I've spent many years away, and she's just asked for that to end. And with the fourth coming up, it just reminds me that we stand here today thanks to the Minutemen and women who fought and they froze to scratch out this land for us, and we need to remember that right through the modern day. And I'd ask everyone to just Google Sergeant Buddy Taylor, who was killed in 2006, and just remind yourself what it's cost to get us these 200 some odd years in existence. So it's I'd like to say it's a pleasure to have been on the board these 2 years, and I look forward to seeing you from time to time around the community.
All right, thank you very much, and your time and effort and volunteerism has been greatly appreciated, and you'll be able to see the fruits of your labor around the community and the decisions you've had a hand on. So, you know, be well, and family comes first. My dad has a saying. He feels very strongly about family, and he's got a mantra that if your family doesn't come first, get a new family.
Happy wife, happy life.
Right. Yeah.
And Mr. Chair, if I could just add from staff, Aaron did call me today, so I knew the news. And today will be your last meeting, is that correct?
Yeah.
And just on behalf of staff and the city, we want to acknowledge you for your two-plus years being on this board. I think you've really provided a great balance alongside with the design professionals and representing the community. So we really appreciate your time here.
Anybody else have any announcements? Well, with that, we're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger. You may see a stranger across a crowded room, and somehow you know.